Okay, so let's talk about a few herbs for the nervous system. This topic is super on the top of my mind. I have just taught five workshops and classes in a row in the last month, and they all had the topic nervous system pretty much at the center of the class. And when I was preparing those workshops and classes, I was thinking, okay, you know, the first thing that comes to mind are, of course, our calming nervines like lemon balm and lavender. But there are so many other categories of herbs that work through a totally different mechanism on the nervous system, or kind of broadly nervous system brain related. And yeah, I think it's a really interesting topic, and I just wanted to share with you a few of these different categories that we can use, these different categories of plants that we could use to strengthen and treat our nervous systems. And of course, I'm also going to talk about my favorite herb for the nervous system. Maybe you have guessed it. It is in the episode title. Yeah, it is Gotu Kola or Centella Asiatica. And I took it for a pretty long time. And yeah, I will tell you what happened. Okay, let's dig into the weeds. Okay, so two of these classes about the nervous system you can actually watch if you sign up on my Ko-fi link that is here in the description below. I have at the moment monthly classes once a month live via Zoom. So if you would like to participate, that would be wonderful. Some of you have signed up in the last weeks, and before that we already had a nice little group together that were coming every month, and those classes that we already had are recorded and already posted on the platform. So when you sign up, you can watch all these past classes, and we have two very in-depth classes about the nervous system with more details, with all the herbs that I'm going to talk about today, but more details, dosages, usage, a bit of theory, also a bit of Ayurvedic theory. So sign up if you're interested. Would be wonderful. Would be lovely to meet you and talk to you in the next class. The classes are live via Zoom, and we have a Q&A session in the end. So you can directly talk to me, ask me your questions. And yeah, this is my favorite part of the class. So yeah, I hope you join us. And the other workshops in the last month was just on the last weekend, was a big herb fest, herbalism festival here in Portugal that I was invited to. And yeah, it was amazing to be with all my colleagues here that work and practice here. And I taught two workshops where we also had the opportunity to try the herbs. I brought some herbal powders and many of the herbs that I talk about here on this podcast, also my favorite herbs, adaptogens and Ayurvedic herbs like ashwagandha, shatavari, and also Gotu Kola, which I will talk a bit about today, among other herbs. So yeah, that was really amazing to be part of this festival. And, you know, just like so many people, and all of them are interested in medicinal herbs. It's of course, a really nice feeling to be in such a group. Yeah, so it was really, really amazing. And so one of the workshops was about adaptogens and the other one more about the nervous system. And of course, adaptogens are also good for nervous system regulation. Yeah, and that's when I noticed during the class, you know, I had to kind of jump back and forth and explain, okay, so herbs for the nervous system, this does not just mean our typical calming nervines, which are wonderful and are definitely part of a protocol that makes total sense, you know, if you want to calm your nervous system. We have lemon balm, lavender, or even some bit stronger sedatives. I mean, the line is, you know, you could put hops and valerian to the nervines or to the more sedatives. Now, these are just terms that we use to describe a bit the action of an herb. And they might fit into more than one category, of course, yeah? But, you know, nutmeg or poppy seed, mulungu, which is a bark of a tree in Brazil. So these are all herbs, I recommend and also use myself if I need a calming herb, for example, to sleep or to sleep better, or also for clients if they have anxiety and they just need a calming herb also during the day to ease their anxiety. So these calming nervines, one thing that is a characteristic of them, you know, if you drink a cup of a nice lemon balm, lavender tea or something like that, you have a limited time frame of action. Yeah, so you basically drink it, you inhale the aromas. Yeah, so they also actually work through our nose, let's say. Yeah, so they would even work, you know, if you smell the essential oil or just smell the tea that you just brewed while you drink the cup. So they work also through this mechanism, and they give you almost, yeah, because of that, because of those aromatics, because of the essential oils contained in plants like that, they work pretty much right away. Yeah, so it's great. I mean, you can even just open a little bottle of essential oil and just take a whiff of it, and you will feel this sensation of calm and inner peace, yeah, almost instantly. But of course, as fast as the effect comes, it also goes away. Yeah, so these are also not herbs that work for hours or that give you any long-term benefit. Yeah, so they work just as long as you take them, basically. Yeah, and so while putting my slides together for the workshops and for the classes, I was kind of picking these herbs and trying to group them. And it's really hard because some really fit into more than one category. So there is an overlap. And sometimes it's a bit tricky to kind of label these herbs because, as we know, herbs are, they're all different. They have so many constituents, which are the chemical compounds that they're made up of. I mean, hundreds, sometimes thousands of different kind of plant chemicals, you could call them. And yeah, of course, they have such a varied mechanism of action. Yeah, and we cannot really shove them into a category, but sometimes it helps, you know, to give us a bit of orientation what we're doing. Yeah, for example, just to tell you a little kind of typical clinical case, you know, if I have a client and there's a lot of anxiety and nervousness, maybe this person can also not really sleep well. Often it comes together with also digestive problems, more in the direction of constipation and gas and bloating sometimes. So in Ayurveda, this is clearly related. Yeah, digestion is very much at the root cause of many, many, many things. It plays very often a role, especially in these more chronic conditions. And with the nervous system, definitely. Yeah, so Ayurveda would group this under a Vata imbalance. Yeah, that the dosha, the Vata dosha, is out of balance and causes at the same time the anxiety originates in the kind of stuck intestines where the energy is not really flowing, where the person is not having regular bowel movements, is not absorbing their food well, doesn't have enough digestive fire, as Ayurveda calls it, the Agni, the digestive fire, to properly digest and absorb the nutrients. So yeah, it goes really deep. So today maybe I'm not going to go very deep into all this theory, but it is in the recorded classes. So when you sign up, you're going to hear me talking about the Ayurvedic doshas and how this really is all connected. Yeah, and the next two classes now in May and in June are going to be about digestive herbs. Yeah, so here we really close the circle. Yeah, we have started with the nervous system and many other areas, but a digestive protocol and digestive herbs have to be part of a treatment strategy. Yeah, it's not that we can just directly go to the nerves and use our calming nervines. We are not going to get longer lasting results. Yeah, we need to also work, for example, with nerve tonics like Gotu Kola. I come to that one just in a second. Adaptogens, for example, like ashwagandha, maybe rhodiola. Rhodiola is kind of a bit more stimulating and uplifting. So if there's also sometimes depressive states, then rhodiola can be a good choice. If the anxiety is very high, then also ashwagandha, for example, is a great herb that I use a lot. And of course, it's not that ashwagandha is an herb directly for the nervous system. No, it is primarily an adaptogen, a root. It is very tonifying, nourishing, broadly balancing and strengthening the body. So it's a pretty amazing plant. It's one of the kind of most important herbs in Ayurveda and really very effective. But you can use it in a protocol where you want to address the nervous system, yeah, where, you know, stress and the person is for too long, too often in this fight or flight mode, and you know, stress plays a big role. Now we want to calm the stress response, and trigger more the parasympathetic response, not the sympathetic response, which represents this fight or flight, no, this kind of stress response. No, so adaptogens are actually exactly that. They help us to cope with stress better. Yeah, so all our hormonal communication from the adrenals that pump out the cortisol if we are stressed, the thyroid, there is all this communication going on in our body between the different organs. No? So you can also burn out your thyroid from too much stress for prolonged periods of time, yeah, if your body just can't deal with it in a healthy way anymore. Yeah. So then ashwagandha and rhodiola, if we look more in this direction of root cause treatment, would be great choices. Yeah, and also especially the nerve tonic gotu-kola, which actually works in a totally different way. Yeah, so gotu-kola, also called Centella asiatica. So this is the botanical name, Centella asiatica, and gotu-kola is what it's called in Ayurveda. So this is a plant that is actually nourishing and tonifying the nerve cells, yeah, and pretty much any tissue in the body. So it is a good tissue healer. Yeah, it can also be used for varicose veins, or if someone, I don't know, broke a bone or has some injuries or scar tissue, it is really great. So it renews on a very physical level, yeah. And I mean, we sometimes think of anxiety or other nervous system disorders in that direction, like that they have also, and of course they do, they also have a psychological component, but they sometimes mainly are physical, yeah. At least in my experience and many other herbalists, it is okay, we have to really first, and this is also what Ayurveda says, treat the most stable system first, yeah, treat the body first, and then the mind and the spirit and all of that. So you have to start with the body. You have to start on a very physical level, yeah. I mean, of course you're going to be anxious and your nervous system is going to be super overexcitable if you just don't have the physical nutrients, no, to make your nerves work well. Yeah, so this is the idea behind this nourishing, tonifying approach. So we're not just giving you some calming nervine that just calms you down for the next 2 hours. No, we have to give you something tonifying, an adaptogen or a nerve tonic like gotu-kola that really rebuilds and strengthens the body and the nervous system. Yeah, so this is a very different approach, right? Yeah. So it's not like, okay, you would call gotu-kola also a nervine because it is an herb that works directly on the nerves, but it's not just a calming nervine like many of these other herbs that I mentioned. It is really more like a nerve tonic that really rebuilds the nervous system. Yeah. So what did happen when I took gotu-kola for a longer period of time? So I took for 6 months 30 grams of the herb. Yeah, so it's also available in powder form. So the two best ways to take it is actually or to buy the powder, yeah, which in Ayurveda many herbs are used in powder form, like the ashwagandha, shatavari, trifala. We talked about many of these herbs here on the podcast. So powder form is widely available, and you can just measure out the amount that you want to take and stir it into something. Yeah, so stir it into a bit of oatmeal or some yogurt or some almond milk, something like, think smoothie consistency or porridge consistency. Yeah, so maybe you don't want to put it into your whole plate of porridge. Yeah, maybe you want to separate a little bit and then stir the powders in that you're taking and then enjoy the rest of the plate without the bitter taste of the powders. Because yeah, I have to tell you that, because you're going to find out if you try it, gotu-kola is very bitter. So it is an intense taste. I mean, you know, some people just don't care that much, and for others, it's really a challenge. So it's always good to have some techniques to mask the taste, to be able to get the herb down. I mean, our taste buds are just very used to bland and sweet food. Yeah. So normally, of course, on a biological level, we would actually crave those bitter herbs when our body needs them. So after a while, we can get back to that state. Yeah, if we detox from all the sugar and all the artificial flavorings, then we will actually find, oh yeah, we actually like the bitter taste of gotu-kola or some other herb that our body is actually needing. But we're all used to a pretty always the same diet and pretty much on the sweet side. So we don't have many bitter foods in our diet. This is different in other countries. You know, you won't hear anyone complaining that easily In Asia, for example, yeah, in China, where they always have also some bitter food in their meals, or in Ayurveda, where they use more spices and bitter spices and just a wider flavor profile, let's say. So you will not hear people complaining much that the ashwagandha is too bitter or the gota kola is too bitter or whatever. But here in the West, you know, many of you are listening from the Western side of the world. I know not all of you. I have listeners all over the world, which is really amazing. So yeah, it depends how you grew up, in what culture you grew up, if you are going to find that, oh, this is very bitter and difficult to taste and to take, or yeah, you know, it's bitter, but great, no? So yeah, maybe you can train your taste buds, or you can just try the best to mask the taste. So this is what we actually did on the weekend on the workshop. So I brought my gotu kola, ashwagandha, shatavari, trifala, all these herbal powders, and I had the peanut butter and the almond milk and beetroot juice. This is actually a favorite of mine, and I think it's a client of mine who taught me that. So yeah, it's actually most of these things that my clients come, and then first they complain and say, "Oh, I couldn't take all this ashwagandha that you prescribed me." And but then now I found a way, no? And then they experiment and they just make their own mixtures and let me know how to best take these herbs. Yeah, so the gotu kola, for example, it combines pretty well with the beetroot juice. Yeah, and then you have the added benefit that you're doing something for your liver. You're doing a gentle liver support by drinking daily beetroot juice. So the gotu kola powder can go directly in there, or what I did when I took it, and what is still kind of my preferred way maybe to take gotu kola, is instead of the powder to just buy the leaf, yeah, the chopped herb, which is also available, a bit less, a bit trickier to find maybe, but you can get it, you can find it. And then you just take 30 grams of that, or that's what I did in that case. So I went for a pretty high dose, I must say. You know, this was already years ago, and I had my own health journey with my hypothyroid problem and Hashimoto's. I had brain fog. I was just so tired and so without energy. I could not concentrate. I could not focus. No? So my brain function was clearly affected. No? When maybe you know that when you have this feeling like you have cotton in your brain instead of your brain. Yes, that's how it felt. No? So I definitely had kind of a serious case that needed a good dose of herb. Yeah, I'm not saying, you know, you have to take the 30 grams. I mean, the dose is relative to what you want to achieve. But this is the dose that I got prescribed from my herbalist. And so I took the 30 grams of gotu kola. I brewed the tea. Yeah, so basically I took the 30 grams, poured hot water on top of it, and let it brew for at least 4 hours. Or usually I did it overnight. I just let it sit outside overnight or in the fridge. And then I took it out to drink it more like at room temperature, not too cold. And I put it in one of these French presses for coffee, but I have one French press that I just use for tea, because then you can really squeeze, in the end, you can really squeeze the dregs out and you get everything out of your herb. Yeah. So gotu kola, you know, it's just this fluffy green leaf. It's a bit similar to, let's say, nettle or alfalfa, with all of these leaves that have a lot of, you know, kind of minerals. And all the medicine of the plant is in the leaf. A long infusion, like I described, is a good way to take them. Yeah. So just infusing it for 10 minutes would not draw out all the constituents, all the minerals of the plant. Yeah. So it's good to let it brew as long as possible. Yeah. I would say overnight. Yeah. And depending on the temperature, you know, you maybe might better put it into the fridge or leave it outside at room temperature if it's not too hot. So yeah, you can decide. So that's what I did. I took 6 months of 30 grams of gotu kola, and then another 6 months of 15 grams, so half the dose. And I didn't stop after a year. Actually, I took it longer than that, but this was kind of the time frame I was given. After that, I think I reduced the dose a bit more, yeah, which also makes sense. Now you start out with like a higher therapeutic dose. This is also what I now do very often with my clients. Now I give them a dose that really does something and resolves the problems that they're having. And then after a while, we can see if we can go down and still maintain the benefits, of course. Yeah. So after a while, after a few months, it's usually time you can reduce the dosages and you can find out, you know, what is the amount of the herb that you still need to maintain the benefits you got from the herb. So what happened when I did that, and I was really surprised by that. So it was about maybe 2 weeks after starting to take it. Yeah. So this is also a difference. Yeah. If you take lemon balm tea, you feel immediate, you know, kind of a slight relaxation almost immediately. It doesn't take long until it works. But these tonifying herbs, yeah, this nerve tonic in that case, like gotu kola, or adaptogens like ashwagandha and other herbs, they take a while until you feel the effect. Yeah, it's definitely not like, okay, you take a dose of ashwagandha and in half an hour later you feel something. No, not at all, actually. Yeah, these are herbs that you can take any time of the day, it doesn't matter. And you have to keep taking them, and then maybe after 2 to 3 weeks you feel the effect if you took the correct dose. Yeah. So in my case, after about 2 weeks, I was really surprised. Yeah, it was almost like my eyes were just, you know, more open, or it's almost like I could see better, I could hear better, I could smell better. It kind of renewed all my senses. I was just more present. I could, you know, yeah, definitely focus better, think better. The brain fog was completely gone. I mean, and since then, I had never had this again. Yeah, it was really amazing. So it was a complete turnover of my whole, brain cells and nervous system. It was a really very noticeable effect. Really amazing. And yeah, I'm glad I got the right advice to take this herb in the correct dose. Yeah, this is also a dosage that is very widely used in Ayurveda. No? So, I mean, imagine if you buy the wrong product, if you buy a product, for example, a tincture or the herb, but in encapsulated, yeah, where you pay like almost $20 for like 60 capsules, and it's just the pure gotu kola powder, not an extract where it's maybe more concentrated, but just the straight gotu kola powder, then you might be just taking like half a gram per day. Or if you take two capsules, 1 gram, no? Or if you take 4 capsules, maybe 2 grams of gotu kola. This is a very different dose than what I took, and I took the full 30 grams. Or in a tincture, yeah, in a little tincture bottle of like, let's say 100 milliliters, you have actually only 30 grams in the whole tincture bottle. Yeah, if you make the herb at a, let's say, 1 to 5 ratio, yeah, one part of herb and 5 parts of alcohol, yeah. So you're basically diluting the herb when you make a tincture, which is very good, you know, if you have very potent herbs that, and you want to preserve them in that way. I mean, tinctures have other advantages. They're very stable. You can easily take them everywhere. And, you know, they have their advantages. It's quicker than making a tea, of course. But in that case, for example, and in many other herbs where the effective dose is not just a few drops, it's not just a gram or two. Yeah, so gotu kola is more like a leafy salad vegetable. Yeah, so you can see that when it grows in tropical climate. Yeah, it grows in India. And there are long stretches of gotu kola covering the ground. So even in this quantity of herb that just grows wild like that, you can get the message. Yeah. So this is more spinach. Yeah. Think of spinach then. This is not a very concentrated herb. Yeah. And of a spinach, you would also not just eat one leaf and expect miracles of that. Of course, you need to eat a bit more of your leafy greens than just one leaf to get all the minerals and to get all the nutrition and the medicine from that. Yeah, so this is how gotu kola works. Yeah, so on these big fields of gotu kola, they say that the elephants who often eat the gotu kola, that is why they have such a good memory. Yeah, so this is maybe, yeah, a nice little anecdote to remember, and to remember the action of gotu kola. Yeah, it is really memory, focus, brain function, nervous system, and anything related to nervous system. I mean, I mentioned anxiety, but also ADHD, for example, and yeah, so many other conditions that are somehow related to the brain. Yeah, and yeah, this is a lot, no? Or to nerve function, yeah, to the nerve cells. Yeah, so I took those 30 grams, and yeah, it was really amazing. I could really feel the effect, and yeah, and since then it has been totally fine. Really, yeah, it was really surprising and amazing. You can eat it fresh. I mean, if you have access to it, yeah, I know that they in these more tropical countries, in some Asian countries, India, Thailand, they have like gotu kola smoothies or drinks or juices mixed with other things. So where I live, I cannot really plant it because of the climate and the dryness. Yeah, it needs a lot of water. So this is the problem. If not, I would love to plant this herb to taste it fresh. I have actually seen it in South America. I have seen it like covering the beach and the forest floor, and yeah, it was amazing. It's really where it grows, there is always a lot of it. So yeah, the best way in our yeah, if you don't live somewhere where it grows, and then of course, you can put it in your salad, in your smoothies, in your juices. You can make pesto with it, soups and all of that. I mean, you can still, if you buy, I mean, I would maybe not do that with the powder because it's already a bit more processed than if you buy the dried leaf. But if you buy the dried herb, the dried leaf, you can use a bit of that to make, for example, a pesto, yeah, or a soup, or yeah, some dark leafy green veggie puree or something. Yeah, so you can combine it with other herbs like or other yeah other veggies like spinach, or if you make a pesto out of basil, then maybe just add like a third or less. Yeah, it will make the pesto a bit bitter, but you put some pine nuts and whatever you put in your pesto, so it balances out, it mellows out a bit the bitter flavor. So that is also a nice way to take it in this culinary way. This is also what they do in Ayurveda very often, huh? That they make these preparations and just add the herbs to the cooking and to the food. So this is also a good way to take gotu kola. Okay, so I will still come to a few of these other categories of herbs that we can use in different ways for the nervous system. But just before I forget, of course, I'm also available for health consultations. If you are interested, you can book a free call with me. Yeah, so I offer a 20-minute free call. The link is directly here in the episode description, so you can book it directly through that link on my calendar, or you can also first send an email if you want to. Just reach out, just go to my website. It's herbalhelp.net, yeah, herbalhelp.net, herbalhelp.net, or the email is tamara@herbalhelp.net, and just write me an email, let me know that you would like to book a free call, and we set it up, and you can book a time, and we can talk, and yeah, then we can discuss how I could possibly help you with a health consultation. And yeah, also, as I said, many of these herbs that I mentioned today, we have more in-depth information in the classes that are already posted. When you sign up through the link for the monthly classes, you can watch the two classes about the nervous system and many other classes about the immune system, brain function. The two next classes coming up now in May and June are about the digestive system as a root cause of many other conditions. Yeah, so don't overlook that. It's really important, and I always find that sometimes my clients say, no, my digestion is fine, and yeah, they just kind of live with the gas and the bloating and this and that. But yeah, you find this very often at the root cause, even if there are no overt symptoms that anything in the digestive system is not going well. So yeah, you find all these classes posted when you sign up for the monthly classes, and I would love to have you in class. Okay, so some other categories that I kind of discovered. So we had the calming nervines, we had gotu kola as a nerve tonic, we have adaptogens, for example ashwagandha and rhodiola, but there are also many others. Then there is herbs like ginkgo, yeah, ginkgo, which is for circulation, yeah, which brings a rather cooling circulation upwards to the brain. So because there are also other circulatory herbs that are more warming, yeah, like think cayenne pepper or ginger, but ginkgo, for example, has this action that it brings a cooling anti-inflammatory energy upwards, yeah. And this brings us to the next point. So inflammation is also often a factor regarding the brain or the nervous system, yeah. So sometimes we need anti-inflammatories like turmeric, and turmeric, I think it's like the most studied herb in the world. There are literally thousands, 10,000s, or even more studies about turmeric. And it has been compared to some psychopharmaca for anxiety and depression, and it shows that it can improve these conditions. So how does it do that? And turmeric is not really like, you know, a nervine or known for, you know, calming or anything related to that. But it treats inflammation really well. And of course, this is a factor which we also know, that we can have microinflammation, low-grade inflammation in the whole body or in the brain or in different parts of the body. And this can affect our mood. Yeah, this can affect our state of mind, our mood, our thinking, our focus, our memory, and conditions similar to that. Yeah. So this is one more category. And then, of course, digestion, which is so closely related to anything that has to do with the nervous system. Yeah, really, from being able to focus and concentration, ADHD and mood issues. I mean, the whole spectrum and more. Yeah. So digestion is, of course, also often at the root cause of hormonal, lack of balance or immune system, autoimmune conditions. I mean, it's really endless. The list is endless. Yeah. This is why we're going to dig deep into the topic of herbs for digestion in the next two classes. So yeah, I would be happy if you join. And see you in the next episode here on the podcast, or maybe hopefully in class soon. Okay, bye-bye.